Welcome, dumbheads, to Mega Dumbcast's Summer Superhero Countdown. Last season on MDC, I read every goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited RPG, identifying the dumbest thing on each page. Now, to finish the job and lead into the next full season of MDC, I will be rating the additional categories of superhero found in Heroes Unlimited supplements. I'll be discussing one power category per day until the first day of summer in ascending order of dumbness. Now, let's get to the countdown with today's category. Today we're discussing the fifth dumbest of the non-core Heroes Unlimited power categories. This one comes from Powers Unlimited 2. It starts on page 58, and it is the category of Immortals. These are special mega heroes who are not only bigger and badder and cooler than everybody else, but also are extremely long-lived and or are some kind of like mythical creature. I don't know if I can really say this is the dumbest thing about this power category, but this is what mega heroes are for. Mega heroes are for creating a character like Thor, who is a god, or, you know, half dragons or whatever, like cosmic beings. And that's what you use mega heroes for. This is like that, but more, and implemented in a weird way. So I don't think we really needed this whole power category. I think more options for mega heroes would have done it. And that's basically what this is, but branded differently. Anyway, let's dive in. It's by Carmen Belair and Kevin Zambita. We get a little preamble here that basically says what I've just said. Then we get a note, as is traditional with the mega hero, with the author telling us, hey, look, you asked for this power category, and we wrote this power category, and we printed this power category, and we sold you this power category, but hey, seriously, don't play this power category. You know, use this with caution. Maybe this is not really four player characters. It's best to play weaklings because then you can roleplay better, because that makes total sense, right? Because as history shows, only unexceptional phoebes are interesting. So play one of those, you know, play a hardware character or whatever, play some loser who rolled three for all their attributes, and now it's going to be a comedy of errors as you try to fight crime and eventually get shot. Like, that's good role-playing. Just do that. Don't play this. This, I mean, honestly, all this, like the next 9 pages of this 96-page book, we really put it here so you wouldn't use it. And anyway, we go on from that useless note, because of course, these are fucking Palladium players we're talking about. Of course, we're all going to play Immortals. We get all the standard stuff, and then this is the thing that like saves it. This is why this is not lower on the list. There's a table for the nature of the immortal. And this is basically a set of archetypes that specify why you are such a cosmic badass. Unlike the mega hero in the core book, which just kind of gives you power options, like these are special bonus things you can do that mechanically make you a badass. Here you get a table that gets into like, but what kind of mythic archetype are you? So there's like a demon here, there's a dragon here, angels, godlings, mermaids, avatars of deities, golems, all this stuff that is kind of like mentioned but never really paid off in Heroes Unlimited does appear here with rules for how you do it. If you want to play a golem, here are the rules. And they're not like vague, you know, take alter physical structure stone and then you'll be like made of clay. It's a lot more like, quote, the only way to destroy the creature is to inflict more than 600 SDC points of damage by magical means, and to take the gemstone that is the golem's heart, buried inside its thick chest, and throw the gem into the ocean, not a lake or sea, but an actual ocean, where it is not likely to be recovered. If the gem is recovered within 20 years of being dropped into the ocean, the immortal golem will reform within 48 hours after being brought to dry land. That's the level of specificity we're talking about. This is some good mythical shit. If you want to play a vampire or a golem, or play against a vampire or golem in Heroes Unlimited, this is your go-to for, like, specific flavorful rules for doing that. But from there, we go on to the usual bullshit. There's a table to roll on to see what kind of super abilities or psionics or magic you get. You can roll for your reason for being on Earth, and you can tell what sensibility this is for, like who would want to play an immortal, because all of these reasons that an immortal being would come to Earth and be a superhero double as like reasons you would be active on 4chan. An outcast, sad and angry loner, study or exploration, Glory Hound, the immortal who would be God, and of course the Champion of Justice, easily recognized by his Guy Fawkes mask and his extreme self-righteousness about philosophical concepts he does not understand. This part's fine, I don't know, it makes more sense to me and is more fun to me for an alien character from the core book, because then I want to know, like, why did I get sent here? There's a social aspect to it, it helps me build the world, right? In addition to giving me a personal motivation, it helps me create the backstory for the character. Here, though, I mean, if I'm playing a vampire, I mean, I can decide if my vampire is like an outcast from vampire society or just a jerk or like a bookish vampire who wanted to study humanity. Like, if I'm a super dramatic person who feels underappreciated and therefore wants to roleplay an immortal who's much smarter than everyone around them and much cooler, and people don't understand how much cooler I am, and that makes me angry and sad loner. I'm fine with this part. I don't need a random table of emotional issues. I've brought my own, thank you. Hey there, sorry for the interruption. This is Chris from the future with a different audio quality, holding a microphone in hand, like a filthy stand-up, because I forgot to mention something in this episode when I was in the trailer in downtown Portland. Now, here I am in my apartment. The baby is asleep, who knows for how long, so I gotta fit this in as quickly as I can. But here's the thing. I was rushing to record the Immortals episode, and I forgot the very dumbest thing about the power category. So as I've mentioned, the Mega Hero pretty much covers all this stuff, right? Like, sure, you can play a golem, you can play a demon, you can play a vampire, and you know what? This does support those things better mechanically than the Mega Hero does, but conceptually, if you're a demon, you could be an alien, you could be a Mega Hero, you could be an immortal, whatever, right? Like, the Hell Police aren't coming to check your ticket, and that's kind of part of the problem with this power category, is that it covers a lot of the same ground as the Mega Hero, except that immortals are older than Mega Heroes are. Immortals are assumed to be like 100 or 200 years old. They start at a higher level too. They start at first or second level if they're very young, or for a standard immortal, you roll 1d4 plus 1, and you find out how many centuries old they are. In some sense, this age is the primary justification for the power category, because anything else it can do, you can do at least theoretically with a Mega Hero, right? The differentiating value proposition, as they say, is you get to play somebody who's already got a lot of experience and life under their belts. You're an ancient Greek god. You're not some newbie who's just been imbued with the power of Ares, but your life experience to date is mainly like working down at the car wash. You lived it. You were there. You've been through the Peloponnesian Wars. You can make baklava. Maybe you don't do it often because you mainly crave destruction, but sometimes, like all of us, you crave baklava and you can handle that too. You've got life experience. Supposedly. Here's the thing. The dumbest thing about this power category is that for the one thing that sets it apart definitively from the Mega Hero, it really drops the ball on both the character's level and the character's skills. If you're not from Earth, if you don't have like a normal origin, then you roll on this table to see what your skill situation is. You know, are you a primitive warrior? Are you a thief? Are you a martial artist? Are you an engineer? Because, you know, apparently there's a whole fucking class of cherubim just devoted to like civil engineering in heaven, and so you can be an engineer if you're an angel. And those skills and skill bonuses are unimpressive, but I don't know what goes on in heaven. Having a bunch of dumbass angels running around, that doesn't seem like heaven, but neither does spending the first 18 years of eternity taking a lot of math classes, so who knows? What I do know about is Earth. I know what happens on Earth. I know how people get skills, and I call bullshit on immortals who are from Earth and roll for normal skills. Here's the problem. Number one, level. Assuming you're the minimum age for a normal immortal character, not one who's been specially arranged with the GM to be young. Normal baseline minimum age is 100 years old. Minimum. That character could be as low as second level. I want you to bear in mind that we have experience rules for this game. This is not like old school D&D where it's like, if you never went out and killed a bunch of fucking badgers in the woods, then you can be 80 years old and still not know shit because you never leveled up, because the only way to get experience points is to beat them out of badgers with a cudgel. We know you get experience points for clever ideas. Just using your skills, just having good ideas, those things get you experience points. So I calculated how many good ideas could you have over the course of 100 years and end up at second goddamn level when you're 100 years old. And the answer is, you can have had no more over the course of your life than an average of one clever, useful idea every other year over your 100 years of existence and still be second goddamn level. That means every other year, that year passes and you never have a good idea. I'm not talking about achievement here. I'm assuming a character who never does anything, never achieves anything, never overcomes anything, never creates anything. A character who is straight up wasting their immortality, doing nothing of consequence, just milling around the house, making sandwiches, watching TV, and who's been at that since, let's say, 1919, and now it's 2019. 100 years of this existence, and fully half of those years, 50 of those years passed, and this character has to have not had one single good idea over the course of that. Not even like, let me chop the onions tonight for that tuna salad I want to make tomorrow. Like, that's worth 25 XP. We're talking about an immortal who, if they have that idea, then they're out for a couple of years before they have another idea of that caliber. That's the only way to end up this low level at 100 years old. Which, okay, I understand that maybe you don't want characters starting at very high levels, but second level, it's too low, no matter how you slice it, especially because Immortals gain XP at the rate of Mega Heroes, so the rest of the party is going to blow past you in play. If you are 100 years old and you start at second level, the other characters who are just barely into their 20s, you know, maybe even actual teenagers, as soon as they start adventuring with you, they're going to shoot right past you in level over the course of like months of adventures. So, okay, that's part one of the dumbest thing about this, is that the characters are way too low level for being potentially like centuries old vampires or whatever. Number two, the skills you get for being that old. If you are an immortal who has been walking the earth during your eternal life, right? For your 100 years or 200 years or 1,000 years or whatever you've been on earth, you've been living life among the people rather than, you know, coming from heaven or hell or the other realm or whatever. Assuming that, you just roll skills normally like anybody else would, and you get like one, maybe two additional skill programs. Two skill programs only if you're over 400 years old, and like 2 to 5 secondary skills. 2 to 5 hobbies you've developed over potentially centuries of life. 2 extra skill programs, and mind you, no additional bonus to those skills, just whatever your regular educational level is. So, if you were street schooled, let's say you grew up on the mean streets of Mesopotamia, and so you have just like the barest of street skills, you are a filthy urchin, no formal education, which means you get no particular bonus to any of your skills other than the ones specified in the street skills collection. These extra couple of skill programs you get for being a goddamn millennium old get no bonus. You are still like beginner level or second level, I guess, at picking locks or wilderness survival, even though you've been doing it for 1,000 years. Someone who went to community college last fall is better than you. Once again, I understand there are concerns of power level. There's all these different considerations, which I'm sure were carefully balanced in the Palladium office. I'm sure they were working around the clock in the Situation Room at Palladium HQ trying to balance all this stuff out. But I understand it is complicated. But for this power category whose only justification, its only reason to exist is so you can play a very old character, to have the payoff for that be comparable to like taking classes through winter semester 1 year, it's laughable. I mean, just think about it. A vampire who was embraced into the ranks of the damned in the year 1019. If you meet her today in the year 2019, she has less useful skill than some jackass with a bachelor's degree. Let me tell you definitively, as a jackass with a bachelor's degree, that is an unacceptable level of realism, even for a game about immortal vampires. Okay, I've got it off my chest. Back to past Chris in the trailer. Anyway, you also roll for your educational level. Again, these are fine. Like, there's primitive warrior, there's alchemist slash scientist, there's thief, and these kind of have like a little bit of immortal flavor. But when you're dealing with these strong archetypes like demon or angel or vampire or golem or dragon, it would be weird to like roll up a dragon and then roll randomly that dragon is a military specialist or a thief. I mean, they might be, but like if I sat down to play a dragon, I feel like I have a grasp of what skills a dragon should have, and that would probably be better implemented even through the standard skill system than through this, which is like a weird mismatch. It's hard. This is hard podcasting. I'm podcasting uphill here because this doesn't all hang together. It's all around a cool core of, hey, you can play a dragon now. Hey, you can play a vampire now. But all this other stuff that's accreted around it, like, and why did this dragon decide to go into the world? And in this dragon's youth, how many secondary skills did this dragon learn? Is this dragon, would you say, more of an eclectic Rhodes scholar? Or is this dragon an enthusiast of human studies who has a skill in anthropology and law? It's like, you had me a dragon, and I wish you'd left it there. Which we see Palladium do in other places, by the way. Like, there is a dragon racial character class in the core book for Rifts, and it's just dedicated to playing dragons, and by God, say what you will about Rifts, but the sheer munchkin joy of flipping through the pages of the Rifts core book and seeing like, oh, I could play a scholar, you know, I could play a vagrant, I could play, ooh, a mercenary, how about a cyborg? And then getting to the end and be like, a fucking dragon, you can play a fucking dragon. And then you look into the rules and it's like, they weren't kidding, I can play a fucking dragon. These are fucking dragons and I can play them. As simple as that seems, few games really like make that promise and deliver on it. Rifts does, but this is not that. This is still this kind of like mix and match modular approach to like, oh, to play a dragon, then combine like the educational level of a martial arts practitioner with like you're 300 years old, therefore you get these secondary skills, plus you have moderate familiarity with modern earth culture, plus it all feels wishy-washy, it all feels generic. It doesn't feel like roll on this table to see what kind of badass fucking dragon you are. Roll the dice. 45, I'm a great thunderous hornmonger. With D8 horns, roll the D8. 8 horns! That's what you want when you play a dragon. And I feel the same about all these. The rest of the stuff we get, alignment, money, we don't really need to talk about it. There's an option at the end to have like a magical weapon, and there's a whole subtable for having your personal weapon, which is appropriate to some of these concepts, but not others. I mean, as we all know from fantasy fiction, any supernatural creature can have an exotic and magical blade, but it just feels tacked on. Like, if I want to play a golem, I don't need a giant golem sword. I'll just be a golem. This power category is right toward the middle of the pack. And the reason is that it's got things I wanted. I want to be able to play a golem. I want to be able to play a vampire. And the entries on that one table really do deliver on that promise in the sense that they give you specifics about how to do this. They don't just sort of abstractly give you the possibility of playing a dragon. Like, oh, you can be super strong in this game. You can breathe fire in this game. Just mix and match those things and you can be a dragon. It is a little more specific than that. But that's one table. It's the results of one die roll. Everything else still feels generic, and it feels not only generic, but like a retread of another generic power category add-on, the Mega Hero. I sort of feel like, as with maybe like the imbued character, but more so, this is just one good table, and the contents of that table, that's all the value here. You didn't really need a power category. Instead, what you could have said is, this is what a golem is like. Golems are badass. They're as strong as a superhero. In fact, if somebody wanted to play a golem instead of a superhero, just give them this stat block. That's all you got to do. And the rest of this is just like a bit tedious, a bit unfocused, much like this episode. So let's move on. Join me next time as we start to get into the dregs and discuss the fourth dumbest non-core power category in Heroes Unlimited on MDC's Summer Superhero Countdown. This has been part of MDC's 2019 Summer Superhero Countdown. A new episode will drop every day through June 21st. To support the show and fund a new full season of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG, donate at patreon.com/megadumbcast. Find or contact the show wherever you want. It is Megadumbcast on Podbean, Gmail, Twitter, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all other trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This theme song, used under a Creative Commons license, is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at incompetech.com.